Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Quarter Three 2014 Results Conference Call of PLAY. Today's speakers are Jörgen Bang-Jensen, Chief Executive Officer, and Robert Bäcker, Chief Financial Officer. All lines are now closed except for the speaker line. If you would like to ask a question to the speakers, please press star one on your keypad to connect with the operator. Before we continue, I will present an important disclaimer. This presentation has been prepared by PLAY and is for information purposes only. This presentation contains forward-looking statements, which by their very nature involve inherent risks and uncertainties, and risks exist that such forward-looking statements will not be achieved. You are strongly advised to review the disclaimer page of the investor presentation available at www.play.pl/investors. This conference call will be recorded, and a recording will be posted on our website. The first speaker will be Mr. Bang-Jensen. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Jörgen Bang-Jensen here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q3 conference call on our financial and commercial results. I would like to start by going to page number three on our presentation and start with the commercial development and commercial success. PLAY reached by end of September 11.8 million subscribers, which is an increase of 14% year-on-year, or more precisely, 1.5 million additional subscribers. We have then, for the first time, passed the 20% market share mark, which is 20.6% exactly, 2.2 percentage point up as compared to a year ago. We're very happy about this development. It comes back on a very strong quarter, which we'll come back to a little bit later. The strong subscriber base growth was coupled with increasing outbound ARPU, and we can also demonstrate that we have been able to attract a good portion of high-value contract customers. 60% of this growth in Q3 was in fact high ARPU, low churn contract subscribers across all segments, business, consumer, and data. Today we have 46.3% of the total subscriber base being on contracts. We had our first conference call about half a year ago, and we said that would be the last quarter where we'd have more than 50% market share in mobile number portability. That was not the case, so we can still say that five and a half years in a row, we have now had more than 50% market share in mobile number portability in the Polish market. The outcome of this effort, if we go to the top of page three, is that the usage revenue for the last 12 months ending September 2014 was 3.3 billion zloty, increasing 21% year-over-year. The usage revenue for the quarter alone amounted to 927 million zloty, an increase of 22% over the same quarter in 2013. Our adjusted EBITDA for the quarter, for the 12 months ending in Q3 was 994 million zloty, so up by 44% over the same period last year. Finally, for the quarter, we had an adjusted EBITDA of 275 million, up 2% on the prior quarter, and we will come back to an explanation on this when Rob is going through the financial figures. Our net subscriber base in contract increased by 310,000 in the quarter, and the remaining part was prepaid subscribers, so the quarter was somewhat stronger than Q2, where we added 223,000 contract subscribers. If we turn to page four, you can see how the development have been over the past period. Again, Q3 with 11.8 million subscribers and the composition between the postpaid and the prepaid. On the right side top, you can see how our ARPU levels have been stable, both in prepaid and postpaid, with a slight increasing trend, which is driving our revenue development. On the bottom left, you can see how revenues have been increasing, you also notice that there's a slight decline in the interconnect revenues, which is driven by the decrease of the MTRs, which had the final effect on the 1st of July 2013. Finally, on the adjusted EBITDA, we have passed the 1 billion mark on last half annualized for the Q3 2014 and have a last half annualized EBITDA margin of 24.8%. If we turn to page number five, the top, we would like to emphasize a very successful rollout of LTE. It is now roughly 12 months ago, actually, with exception of 10 days, exactly 12 months ago, that we launched our commercial LTE network. And by end of September, we had 3,190 4G LTE sites, representing a coverage of more than 63% of the population, and we are continuing to build the network. Very important is also that with the coverage that we have provided now, both in LTE and GSM on 1800, we have met the license requirement that was estimated or predicted to be reached by June 2015. So we have met all license requirements at this point in time. In our commercial development, we see that almost all handsets that we are selling, more than 90%, are today's smartphones, and we have more than 50% of those being 4G LTE devices. The outcome of our effort, which we are very pleased to see, is that today more than 40% of our data traffic in our network is carried on the future 4G LTE network. So we see a very strong uptake and very strong utilization of our effort on LTE, which makes us very happy. The Polish regulator, UKE, has announced an auction for additional spectrum. And what is on auction is five blocks of 800 megahertz spectrum with a reserve price for each block of 250 million zloty, and additionally 14 blocks of 2600 spectrum with a reserve price of 25 million zloty per block. If you wonder why in Poland that's only five blocks of 800 megahertz available, we will remind you that one block have already been allocated to an operator, Sphere, in return for some other unused frequencies that they were possessing, and therefore there's only five blocks available to be auctioned off in this process. We are well prepared, while our preconditions and financial assumptions as announced when we were issuing the bonds have not changed. The bid have to be issued, the initial bid, by Monday, 24th of November, which is the coming Monday. We are ready for that. And the bidding is assumed to start in early 2015. And by that time, we have made our final financial evaluation and the bidding strategy following that evaluation. If we turn to page number six, this is just a demonstration that we are still a market leader by far in terms of mobile number portability, so still above the 50%. And page number seven is a summary of our subscriber base and ARPU development. So you can see on the left side that we have grown our subscriber base, 1.5 million up year on year, and that we at the same time are able to increase the outbound ARPU for the contract and for the mix of customers in total. So all in all, a very satisfactory development. That would conclude my report on the commercial development for the third quarter, and I would like to hand over to Rob Balker to go through the financials.
Thank you, Jürgen. We're on page nine of the presentation, which is on our website, which I hope you have in front of you. We're looking at a summary profit and loss statement. On the left-hand panel, we're comparing Q3 2013 with Q3 of 2014. Our service revenue grew by 25% from 874 million in the prior period to 1,089 million zloty in the current period. Our contribution margin increased by the same amount, 25%, and the contribution rose from 627 million to 782 million. Our adjusted EBITDA increased by 35% from 203 million zloty to 275 million zloty for the current quarter. When comparing the second quarter of this year with the current quarter Q3, our service revenue increased by 9% and our contribution by 8%, while our EBITDA rose from 269 million zloty to 275 million zloty, or 2%. The EBITDA increase was not as much as the revenue or contribution increase because of the significant number of net postpaid adds we took on versus Q2 of this year. During the current quarter, we took on 310 postpaid net adds versus the prior quarter of 223 net postpaid adds. So a very strong quarter in terms of customer acquisition, while the unit SAC, when comparing the two quarters, remained constant. Moving on to page 10, our free cash flow. Before financing and financing-related items, increased from 111 million in Q3 2013 to 190 million in Q3 2014. Again, a very strong quarter, 72% growth in our free cash flow before debt service. And when comparing our free cash flow before debt service from the prior quarter, we saw 21% growth, or 157 million free cash flow to 190 million free cash flow. Moving on to slide 11, which just to remind you of our capitalization again, our net secured debt in euros stood at 575 million, or 2.2 times last half annualized adjusted EBITDA. Our net debt at Play Holdings 2, which includes our secured debt as well as the senior unsecured notes, was 848 million, and the leverage ratio based again on last half annualized was 3.2 times. And if we include our recently issued PIC notes, our net debt is 1.2 billion euros, and we leveraged at 4.9 times last half annualized. Moving on to slide 12, a little bit more detail of the history of our and our strong deleveraging track record. We continue to delever strongly over the last quarters and believe that we will continue to do so through the end of this year and into the following year. Slide 13 just lays out an EBITDA bridge for both Q2 2014 and Q3 2014. The only item I would like to point out there is the SAC, which is the green, which increased from 136 million to 181 million zloty. On a going forward basis, we're still standing by our EBITDA guidance of 255 to 260 million euros. That to an extent depends on the postpaid adds in December as well as foreign exchange rates, obviously. We'd expect cash capex to stay in there to be around 115 million euros for this year as we originally guided. For 2015, we're expecting EBITDA in the range of 300 to 325 million euro. And our cash capex, excluding the license, which Jürgen spoke of earlier, at around the same levels as 2014. But that's all the management has for you, and we'd be grateful for any questions you may have. Operator, you can take questions.
Thank you, and it's star one to ask a question on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Stanley Martinez from Legal and General Investment. Please ask your question.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I have a question for Jorgen on ARPU and brand perception, and one for Rob, if I could, on spectrum funding. So, Jorgen, in terms of the market, it looks as though pricing from other Polish operators has gotten more opaque, certainly has for analysts, and maybe that's one of the reasons why your share of net and gross ads has been more favorable in the second and third quarter. So my question is, with your contract ARPU now above 32 zloty, what does the net promoter score and the brand perception tell you about where ARPU can trend to over the near term? In other words, do you think that there's room for further migration higher in realized pricing at the same time as you're gaining relative share gains, especially in consumer? So that's my first question.
Okay. First of all, you said contract ARPU at 32. That's the mixed ARPU.
I meant to say the blended ARPU. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, blended. So what we see is that we have a strong position and brand perception in the market. We are aware of the fact that over time, of course, prices will migrate not necessarily to the same level, but to a similar level. However, our brand perception and our service execution is still second to none. So we have a net promoter score, and it's, depending on which quarter, is between 32 and 34. And that is measured, as I understand it, from the American way of calculating NPS, where our competitors are between minus 10 and plus 12. Secondly, in the first choice for operator, we are on a number two position, meaning that a unbiased question, which operator would you prefer if you had to choose today, Play is a very strong number two after Orange, and that has been Orange has been brand leader in this question ever since Play started in the market, but we have, over time, grown our preference, and we have seen that our preference is very much linked to the market share, or the other way around. As preference is growing, our market share is growing, and we still have a gap up to the preference level, so we believe there's room to improve our quality customer base also going forward. So to summarize, we believe there's room for further growth, and we also believe there's room to potentially increase ARPU slightly on the trend line that we are going forward.
Well, that's great context. If I could just follow up on that, and then I'll go back in the queue for my other question. But, you know, in terms of the ARPU increase that we saw this quarter, you know, it wasn't just prepaid migrations to postpaid. I'm just wondering, you know, how much of that do you think was because of incremental data, or in particular, do you have a large proportion of subs that are going off promotion, like the one zloty promotion, and going to a higher go-to rate? And then, you know, is that something that you think has more legs to it?
The ARPU increase is driven by data usage, and we also see an increasing roaming usage. And we see a development where months on months, an increasing number of people who take smartphones are actually also signing up to data packages. A very traditional pattern is that users who originally bought a smartphone without a data package, only to listen to some music, to take a few pictures and maybe use Wi-Fi at home, get used to the facility, and second time around, when they are in retention process, are easy to convince to take a data package because now they see the value of the data and they would like to have ubiquitous coverage. Therefore, they say, okay, let me take a data package on top, and we are able actually to move the ARPU slightly higher, and that's the effect you see here. So data on roaming, and the ability to upsell data packages, especially in retention.
Okay,
and then
great.
Just quickly to answer your question on licenses, that they would be financed through existing cash and facilities.
Okay, so, you know, basically, Rob, existing free cash flow is going to be the primary option here?
Yeah, and as well as our RCF as well. We would use some of that, yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Your next question comes from the line of David Levinson from Goldbridge Capital. Please ask your question.
Hi, I have three questions, actually. The first one is, I mean, if it's been qualitatively answered partially, is on growth. I see a lot of growth coming from ARPU and also a very strong subscriber acquisition, but that will start to flatten out, at least on the subscriber acquisition side at one point. What do you think your natural market share in the Polish market is? First of all, and also, when do you see growth starting to flatten out? How many quarters do you think before we see a marked slowdown? My second question was, sorry?
Let me just answer, yeah, we don't have a particular target for market share. So,
mm-hmm.
When do we see growth flattening out? I mean, certainly as it relates to Play, you know, we don't see it necessarily flattening in the next 3 or 4 quarters for certain.
Okay. Thank you. My second question was on the spectrum acquisition. I mean, you give us the minimum prices, understand the system of blocks. Given that there are 4 players, and how much CapEx are you thinking of budgeting here?
It's in the budget more or less already. There are some license coverage requirement linked to different blocks, which means
yep.
that depending on which block you are being allocated,
yep.
in the end, you will have different CapEx requirements. However, these coverage requirements are not for 2015, but for 2017, as I recall it.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be later CapEx requirements, not for 2015.
Mm-hmm.
We very much believe that 15 will look as we have just given guidance.
Okay. Thank you. My last question is with regards to the shareholders. I understand that they have, for the financial shareholder, post the PIC new issue, it has made a profit on its already made a profit on its investment, and understand an event on the equity of the company is on the table. Is there any thinking progressed here?
I don't know whether they've made a profit or not. You should ask them what they're thinking. I don't know either. You should ask them.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jean-Yves Guibert. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. 2 questions, if I may. The first one on the interconnection, actually revenue and expenses. Those are increasing at higher pace than your customer base, and actually your interconnection costs even are increasing at a higher pace, which makes you increasingly more a net payer of interconnection costs, and therefore a bit dancing into your profitability. Could you please help us understanding better the dynamics on those interconnection revenue and costs, please? And the second question I have is related to your subscriber acquisition costs per gross ads on a contract basis. That has increased in Q3, both sequentially and year-on-year. Is it a reflection of more competition? And we can see that from instance in terms of market share of the MNP, for instance, Orange has gradually increased its market share, or is it more as a one-off during this summer? Thank you very much.
Hi, it's Rob here. Could you go to page 13 of the presentation?
Indeed.
So there's a bridge there,
yep.
And I guess on the interconnect cost there's been no change. It's kept constant, 17.6 versus 17.6 in the prior quarter, exactly. So you look at.
Yeah, but if I refer to page 9, if I do the difference, if I look at the rate of growth of your interconnection cost, was up 9% sequentially. It was up 9% sequentially during Q2 versus Q1 14. And in the meantime, your customer growth is growing by 3-4% on a sequential basis. So your interconnection costs sequentially are growing much faster than your customer base. And also your interconnection costs.
You have to look at net interconnect costs, though. So
yeah, but on a net basis, your interconnection costs on the delta keeps increasing. Was up by 10 million year-on-year and up by 6 million sequentially. So should we expect this delta to keep increasing?
No, you shouldn't, because Q3 is also impacted by roaming. So within, which is not broken out there, within interconnect costs is obviously the incremental roaming or the seasonality of roaming that you get in Q3. Customers go abroad on holiday and incur interconnect costs. So no, I don't think that would be the case. I mean, we would hope to keep interconnect costs at a constant rate to revenues, which is why on slide 13 they kind of set out as a variable cost as a percent of revenue. Sorry, I forgot your second question. Would you mind?
Was on the subscriber acquisition cost, per unit has increased in Q3, both year-on-year and sequentially. And wondering whether that was a sign of increased competition.
That's not my understanding. If you would go to, do you have the report in front of you? So the full quarterly report, it lays out our unit costs. So if you go to page 20.
Yeah.
On the report, so there it's got and I presume you're referring to contract. So for the 9 months ended September 30th, 2013 versus 2014, our unit SAC prices actually went down by 1.6%. And for the 3 months ended September 30th, 2013 versus 2000, they were up 2.7%. So hence I said our SAC prices are relatively flat. And the increase of SAC is driven purely by volume, and that's because we took on 310,000 net postpaid adds this quarter versus 223 in the prior quarter, which, if you look on page 13, is what's driving the increase in SAC from 12.9% to 15.8%, or in absolute terms, 136 million zloty to 181 million zloty.
Okay, but then the sequential increase in Q3 versus Q2, that's mostly seasonal then?
There's a small increase of 2.7% in unit basis. I mean, that's fairly inconsequential.
Sorry, I didn't get that. So the sequential increase of 10%?
2%.
No, 10% sequentially from 310 to 340. From Q2 14 to Q3 14, the SAC contract increased by 30.
Yes, that is correct. So sequentially, it has increased.
So is that a seasonal pattern, or?
It has. From time to time, the third quarter we have seen higher SAC unit SAC costs. But I mean, over many quarters, to sort of 2013, 2014. The SAC's been sort of between 350 and 3, I don't know, the lowest I think it's gone is 311.
I understand the pattern, so that's very helpful. Thank you very much for your detailed answer.
Sure.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Mark Wade from ROG Global Partners. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a quick one, just returning to the Polish spectrum. Can you give us a flavor as to how competitive you expect it to be? And Is there a, just in terms of understanding, is there a level at which the price it wouldn't make sense, and what would that price be?
To answer, go backwards, I would say, yes, there is a level where it doesn't make sense. I cannot say what the level is. It will be different for different operators. And given there's five blocks available for four operators who all want two blocks each, it is going to be competitive. The structure of the auction is not influenced by any competitive measures or otherwise. There are certain caps, but basically all operators, we assume, will be going for two blocks, and we also expect one or two new entrants to try the lock in the auction.
I mean, can you even give us an idea as to what, you know, the sort of the potential range of the price per blocks do you think could be?
No. I think the best is to refer to what consultancies have made in terms of purchase power parity normalized bids from around Europe, but I would not give any guidance.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jahansev Hussain from Blue Bay Asset Management. Please ask your question.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the opportunity to ask some questions. Last on the spectrum, can you just remind us broadly about your strategy? Is it an either-or between 800 and 2600, or should we expect that at the very least, you know, you bid for 2600 and sort of 800 is more price-sensitive? And then I had a separate question following that.
Our strategy that we outlined is we will make sure that we always have sufficient spectrum for the capacity that we need. On top of that, we have a national roaming agreement with each of the other operators in the market for the rural areas. And one of those agreements also include access to LTE 800, assuming our partner will acquire some 800 spectrum, which gives us more solutions to choose between, and we can act very rational in the upcoming auction.
Right. Okay. Yes. No, you stated that.
I don't think I want to say anything more to that.
Perfectly understandable. Then just on the MNP share, obviously, you know, you guys have had better performance than you expected, which is great. But in the past, we've talked about the equilibrium and how it's not been upset by yourselves. It looks like Orange has obviously been outperforming the other two operators in the market. Can you give us a sense of why you think they are more successful than the others, and are they doing, you know, what are they doing differently? And, you know, is there a risk that they actually end up, you know, upsetting the market balance that you've been very careful not to upset?
If you look at the page number 6, you can see how Orange year on year have been growing their MNP share. And the main driver of this is their activities in the B2B segment. So at the same time as Polkomtel announced that they were no longer interested in the corporate and the government segment, Orange have increased their interest in this particular segment, and that is the main driver of their market share. We can see it in our statistics because the bulk of Orange MNP is coming at the end of the month, which is a typical behavior when you talk about business customers. So this is very much Orange's effort on the B2B segment that is creating results.
That's very
helpful. They will eventually upset the market equilibrium. I don't think so, but difficult to predict about the future.
Got it. Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Nancy Utterback from Aviva Investors. Please ask your question.
Yes, hi. Two questions. On the spectrum, have you any information for us about what the payment schedule might be? And the second question is about your balance sheet strategy. What is your leverage target now post the PIC issue, and when do you think you might hit your target?
The first question, assuming a complete optimal process and time-optimized process going forward, we would have to pay for the frequencies in the second quarter, beginning of second quarter next year.
And that's for the full amount?
And that's the full amount.
Okay.
It's a cash at delivery.
Well, I mean, in terms of our target leverage, I mean, I guess the incurrence covenant is 3.75 times for the secured and senior secured notes. You know, I mean, when do we expect to hit that? And that's based on a last half annualized, certainly sometime next year.
Great,
so in other words, yeah.
Sorry, you were going to expand?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're at 4.9 now, and you know, we'd expect to get to 3.75 sometime next year.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Anshul Shigani from Crisil Global Research and Analytics. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. It's actually Vivek Khanna from Deutsche Bank. A couple of questions, if I may. I guess the first one is on the very strong subscriber growth, postpaid subscriber growth, which you delivered in the quarter, clearly ahead of our expectations. I was just wondering, you know, is there anything specific which is driving that, or more importantly, is it more of the same? And what we're seeing is more traction in the market. So I guess to understand what happened in this quarter, and also more importantly, you know, how do we see that trend going forward into other quarters? And then finally, just on spectrum, I just wanted to know, you know, are there any potential legal challenges which could happen between now and the beginning of next year, which could potentially delay the auction further? And then, as a follow-on to that, would we find, you know, with regards to potential new entrants, which could be bidding for the blocks, is that something which would be disclosed again next week or when the initial paperwork is put through?
First of all, on the commercial, we have had a good quarter. We believe it's the effect of our LTE strategy, clear communication, a number of offers that we have introduced in the market, and all of that combined have given us a very good development in the third quarter. We expect a strong Q4, and as Rob alluded to earlier, we also expect that the growth could continue into 2015, but we have given you a guidance on the EBITDA level.
Sure.
That we expect. On the frequencies, again, sorry, I forgot part of your question.
So on frequencies, I was wondering, the two questions were, you know, could there be any potential delays in the actual auction due to litigation? And the second question would be, with regards to any potential new entrants, would we actually know that list already before the end, before the actual, you know, would we know that sometime next week once the initial paperwork is put through?
Normally the regulator is publicizing a list of participants a couple of days after the auction has been, or the bidding has been initialized. It's the first time, you have to remember, first time in Poland that there is an auction. Normally it has been tenders. But this time, as I understand it, and we have asked her specifically, she will make a list public a couple of days after the initial bidding on Monday. So we'll know who will be participating. There has not been a tender procedure in Poland that has not been legally challenged by at least one market contender, and therefore our expectation is that also this one will be challenged one way or the other.
Excellent. Thank you very much for the color.
Your next question comes from the line of Mark Chapman from CreditSights. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I'm just sorry to come back to Spectrum again. I just wanted to know if you could give us any color on the network sharing agreement and specifically the potential for Spectrum sharing within Poland, whether that is also includes the potential to bid together for Spectrum. Thanks.
Jürgen, yeah. So the auction is having one restriction, which is that auction or acquired 800 spectrum, including the one already acquired by Sphere, you can maximum share three blocks of spectrum. So, for instance, networks, which is the joint venture between Orange and T-Mobile, cannot deploy a network where they have frequency aggregation and sharing on more than three blocks. They can, however, between them, acquire four blocks, deploy three as shared frequencies, and one as unshared, if they so desire. The one exception to this is a passus in the auction terms, whereby if all operators, including Sphere, agree to provide one network, so make carrier aggregation between all six blocks, then this is allowed.
I see, but that can only be done after the bidding. So networks itself can't acquire the license. It has to be the participants, for example, in networks. So Orange and T-Mobile would each have to acquire and then share it afterwards. Is that correct?
Any legal entity and legal person can acquire spectrum. If you want to file a bid personally on Monday, you can do that. There's no restrictions to who can enter the auction. But there's, of course, some bidding rules. First of all, you have to provide a deposit. Secondly, when the bidding reaches a certain level, you have to provide a deposit for 25% of all the bids that are winning bids in the auction. So as it progresses, significant cash flows could be expected throughout the auction, with the final payment, as I mentioned earlier, to be expected early or at the earliest beginning of second quarter next year.
Okay, thanks very much for the detail on that. I appreciate it.
Just to make sure, the deposit, if you're not winning the bids, of course, all of it is returned to you at the end.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes to the line of Hao Kabaka from HSBC. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I have a question in terms of the market dynamics in terms of product offering. We have seen now the first operators start to offer some bundling offers. And I was wondering, being you guys just a mobile-only operator, how do you see this sort of trend kicking in? And how do you expect sort of to adjust to these changes? And then secondly, in terms of margins, I mean, of course it's never a clear comparison, but looking at your EBITDA margins and comparing it with the remaining operators, it feels like you guys are still behind. And I know, well, you've been in quite a growth phase, but where do you see these margins going? And if improving, where do you think the improvements can be seen? Thank you.
I think long term we're targeting an EBITDA margin of around 35%. Obviously, our customer acquisition and therefore SAC is a big drag on the EBITDA margin. So that's an area where we see a big improvement over time. And secondly, just basic, you know, we think our cost base won't increase much, and therefore we'll get operating leverage out of our fixed costs.
Mm-hmm.
On the first question, bundling or non-bundling, we believe in bundling. I think what we have said earlier is our strategy is to provide offers only on one technical platform, which is the mobile platform. But on this platform, we today offer traditional voice, smartphone offers, mobile internet, as well as stationary internet and fixed telephony. So we have bundles that allow a family to be fully supported and fully equipped with offers only from Play, but it's all based on the mobile platform that we have. We see our competitors moving more into bundling between different technologies and like direct to home, mobile internet, and voice telephony, or in case of Orange, between IPTV, fixed internet, etc. Most of these all bundles are driven by giving a discount to the consumer, and as we have mentioned a couple of times, the price level in Poland is already very low, and therefore the discounts are not so significant. There are segments interested in bundle offers, there are segments not interested. We believe our strategy will still, at the end of the day, linked to the cost of providing the services, be the most profitable for Play.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, it is star and one on your telephone keypad to ask a question. Your next question comes from the line of Bilal Khan from Nomura.
Yes.
Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Just one question. Can you share or refresh your views on the possibility and perhaps your preference for consolidation in the Polish market? And if you can sort of give any color on how that may be treated by the regulators, depending on what you think may or may not be possible. Thanks.
I mean, we just don't have a view on that. It's very, very difficult to say, you know, what anybody's thinking at one time. Certainly the dynamics here are different to Germany, and consolidation would for sure lead to an abnormal market share versus what happened in Germany. So, I mean, we just, yeah, very difficult to say.
Okay, is that something that you, from Play's perspective, would be something that you would like to see in the future in the market, or is that something you just don't think about it from a strategy perspective?
In any comments on consolidation or M&A activity would be purely speculation, and we don't like to speculate. So I think no further comments on that.
Okay, thank you.
And as a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, it's star and one on your telephone keypad to ask a question. We have no further questions at this time.
Hello, Jürgen here again. So if there's no further question from the side of management of Play, we would say thank you for the interest, and we look forward to speak to you again after the full year results 2014. Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect.